Welcome back, listeners, to another episode of Planner Lifestyle Podcast. And if you are new here and you have just found the planner community and are wondering how people could sit around and talk about their daily agendas, you're also welcome. In today's episode, I'm bringing on a guest named Jenna, and she's on Instagram as plan.pen.paint.parent. We talk about those four things pretty consistently throughout the entire episode, but we take some lovely, lovely tangents talking about the stars, our dream projects, and we actually ended up stopping the show to do a Google search for this one excellent resource that you will not want to miss. Here's Jenna. Before we jump into our conversation and our interview, will you just give our audience just a little sneak peek of who you are and kind of what you're about and where do you fit into the planner community? Where are you coming from?
Thanks for having me. I'm so happy to be here. I am a happy planner. I've been a happy planner since about 2017, but I've always kind of been planning. When I joined the planner community, I saw the hand lettering and immediately jumped into that. Thought, hey, I can do that too. You watch the videos and it just looks so easy. But I am a wife and a mom. I have two dogs and I live in East Texas.
So in East Texas, you live in a rural area. That is a hard word to say, honestly. Rural for me. I don't know. Rural area. And it was always a dream of yours to buy some land and live in a tiny little town and build a house. How long have you been out in that kind of lifestyle?
We bought our land in 2016 and finished the house in 2017. We have about 2.5 acres and exactly 10 neighbors and 3 horses. Across the street. They're not ours.
I was going to say,
they're horse neighbors.
Oh, horse neighbors. That's the best kind because then you don't have to pay for them.
Right? I don't have to pay for them. We can bring them carrots. It's really nice.
Yes.
But me and my husband both grew up out in the country and we just decided that's the lifestyle that we want to raise our kid in after we lived in the suburbs for about 1.5 years. In an apartment, we're like, this is too much. And then we moved out to the outskirts a little bit. And we're like, this is nice, but this is really starting to develop. Like all of the fields around us, we were in a subdivision. It felt too tight for us. So we looked for land and we found it and we moved. And now we wake up in the morning and literally go out the front door and watch the wild pigs and the deer in the field with the horses.
Oh, wow. That sounds majestic. You also have 2 pups. So
yes.
How are they like in all this space? I'm imagining, are they the kind of breed that need a lot of space or do they just sit at your feet?
Yeah, both. Lulu is our German short hair pointer. And so she's a hunting dog, and she should love it, but she is allergic to grass. So she's constantly chewing on her feet. And then Shelby is our beagle, and she's a beagle. She is full beagle, and she sounds like a beagle. She loves the rabbits in the yard, and she goes out and she chases them.
Nice. Well, that's her instinct, right? I mean.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. She is very good at it.
Do you get little surprises? Like, aren't you so proud of me, mommy? And you're like, oh, no thanks. Does she bring home her treasures?
I wish that she would not eat them. She usually doesn't bring them home. They're just gone.
Oh, sure. Do you get into gardening and things like that? Like, is that your kind of ideal scenario? Or is just like, we like the space, but I'm still going to order my groceries online? Like, where do you fall with all that?
Okay, order my groceries online? That doesn't happen. Stop right there. The nearest grocery store is a 20-minute drive.
Okay.
So when I say 20 minutes, it's a good 15 miles to the nearest grocery store. So, ordering groceries online, we don't really do that. We actually live down the street from a real farmer. Like, he's got a couple hundred acres full of nothing but grain. And he's got a gorgeous garden. And so, you know, me and my, I can do that. I decided I can't keep a house plant alive, but I can have a garden. And I have tomatoes and basil this year for the first time. And they're in pots. They're not in the ground yet. I think I'm going to do raised flower beds next year, but for this year, it just wasn't right.
Well, tomato and basil. Are you going to be making some bruschetta? Like, have some mozzarella and some. Or do
So
you.
I am full Italian, and that is my goal. I want to have tomatoes, basil, garlic, and onion, and I want to make my own sauce straight out of my garden.
Oh, that sounds fabulous.
Yeah.
Do you have anyone in your life that would pass down like a sauce recipe to you? Or is it just like in your
Oh my
veins? Like you
goodness.
just have to like lick the spoon? This is like stereotypical. Like I'm thinking of the families I knew growing
It's
up. Like she just,
true.
like Grandma, the Nana would just sit there and lick the spoon like with her tiny little tongue like lash, like thick. And then she'd be like, nope, this needs more time. Like, okay.
Yes. Oh,
I don't know.
it's so true. That is exactly how my mom cooks. And she doesn't have measurements for anything. She's like, these are your ingredients. And then you just add some of this and a little bit of that. And then you mix it until it looks like this. And I'm like, really? I need
Thanks.
to know. I need measurements. I need 1 cup of this, half a cup of that.
Well, and so you are putting your recipes kind of in tangent with a Happy Planner recipe organizer, right? Is that so? Then
Yes,
you're trying to
yes.
translate these traditional like cooking styles with what do I actually write
Yeah.
down here? So how's the, what do you put or what do your pages look like when you write down a recipe in your organizer?
So I just got the Kodak bundle that the Happy Planner did that was available for like a hot minute. I don't think it even made it 24 hours. I just got it. It's a little instant printer. And I told my mom, I said, I have this thing now. We need this virus to go away so that me and you can get together and I can take pictures as you're cooking and then print them off and put them in. So when you say, mix it till it looks like this, I have a picture of what this is supposed to look like.
Oh, I see. Yeah.
Yeah, because before that, we were trying where she would pour it into a cup and it was about a, you know, it was about a cup. And then at the end, if it doesn't look right, add more milk. You know, so it still wasn't quite there yet. So I really think that the Kodak printer is going to help us with that and get me some visuals.
Yeah, how fun too to have that little instant gratification of printing out a picture. I mean, in the digital age, to have a print of a picture seems like such a fun, novel idea.
Yeah,
Or,
and
yeah.
my mom is the best cook I know. So I don't want to get it close. I want it to taste like she was standing in my kitchen and she made it. And then, you know, many years from now, I want to be able to pass that to my son. This way he can cook like Grammy too.
Oh, what a beautiful way to try to plan ahead for a legacy and increase your own cooking skills in the meantime, and especially fresh from the garden. Oh, that's going to be so good. Would you get into canning at all or just like making your sauce for the day? Like, how do you picture, like, ultimately, like if you could just cast a big dream net, what would it look like? Would you just have tons of this stuff?
Okay, so my dream plan is very far off from reality. Reality is I've gotten 2 tomatoes this season.
Yes, Jenna. I love this, but you can dream anyway. It doesn't matter. I want to hear it. Yeah.
So next year, the reason I got two, I should have had three, but only got two because an armadillo came and ate my tomato.
Oh, come on, East Texas.
Yeah. an armadillo came and he ate my tomato. It was just about, it was full mature green and it was just about to start turning red. But next year, so this is like the guinea pig year. This is the, can I keep a plant alive outside test run year. Next year, my husband doesn't know this yet, so I'm glad he's outside, but he is going to be making me a little fenced in area to keep all the critters out, but so the bees can still get in. Like I don't want walls. I want a fence, keep all the critters out. And it's going to have shade because a tomato plant can't survive 90 plus days. It can't survive. Well, it can survive, but it doesn't produce when the temperature gets above 85. And that's like mid-May to mid-August.
It's always above 85 is what you're saying, mid-May to mid-August.
Yeah. Or not August, October. We'll still be in the 80s in October. So he's going to have to make me some shade on the west side of it so it throws a shadow and keeps them cool.
Yes, this seems like a great conversation for me to not be a part of. Honey, I want to have you. I want some shade. No, that, but you know, how do you operate with your husband? Is he really like handy? Like, will he just be like, yes, a project? Or is he kind of like, what Pinterest thing are you showing me now? Like, where do you all fall with that?
Oh, I love my husband. He is becoming handy. He's getting there.
That is a very gentle way of describing. That is good. That's good. We all grow. Like, you are becoming, you know, yes, a better gardener. You are becoming a gardener. Yes. You are becoming. I think it's totally reasonable to say that, you know, and acknowledge that we aren't experts on things, but it doesn't matter. We're still going to dig in and maybe make a plan and try it, you know?
Exactly. Mm-hmm. He wants to learn. He wants to do things. He just hasn't had the experience. So now he's learning. He's dipping his toe in and he's seeing how to get things done, basically. And yeah, it's good. We haven't had any failures yet. We've had a couple frustrations where he has to walk away from it for a day, but then he comes right back with a new plan and he's got it. So,
oh yeah.
So he's pretty good at it. Oh, now, right now he's got a laundry list. I want him to build a different fence for the playground that we just got for Emmett playing on. So I want a different fence for that. This way Emmett can play out there in the evening and I don't have to worry about coyotes. And I want a swimming pool.
Oh, well, okay, let's do it. Dream big. Okay.
The swimming pool needs a deck going around it. And since Emmett can't swim yet, it also needs a fence going so that he can't fall in. So yeah, I have a little bit of a laundry list.
Okay, so he's learning to be handy real quick.
He sure is.
Well, you can dig in too, right? I mean, we can use power tools and, yeah.
No, I cannot.
Oh, come on.
I've tried. I can't. I'll measure it and draw the line. You cut it and make it happen.
Okay. You need to know your strengths and be, you know, bring to the table what you can bring.
And we complement each other there because he's not good at measuring. He can measure the same thing three times and get three different measurements.
Oh, I feel that soul. I feel him. Yes. I feel that. Oh, husband, Jenna's husband, I'm with you. What? It's not us. It's the world against us. This is the measuring tape, I swear.
Yes.
Exactly. If you find a good partnering there, my husband, I swear, could look at a piece of wood and be like, well, that's 2 inches, 5/8. And I'd be like, you're just looking at that. I know. I'm like, how do you? It's just kind of innate or maybe a skill that he has done woodworking in the past, but just a very detailed eye and very concerned with it being correct. And that really provides the skills you need in that particular scenario. You can't get it wrong, type of thing.
And my husband's a mechanic. Currently he's doing window tint, and It does require attention, but it doesn't require precision. So his job still requires that he pay attention to it and do it the right way, but it doesn't have to be precise. There's a lot of wiggle room. So now he's adjusting. But hey, he made the mailbox, the stand for the mailbox and all of that. And he made a wood holder for our firewood.
Nice.
Yeah, and those look great. So
Yeah,
we're getting there.
you're on your way, and you'll realize what's realistic to get done in one summer and what might take 10 more years and all that
Exactly.
kind of
Oh,
thing. Yeah.
the 5-year plan has so many dreams on it. But he's going to learn how to weld by the end of this also.
Oh, well. All right,
Yes.
let's just. Do you also need some sort of like bridge, skyscraper, like underground bunker?
No, I just want a perimeter fence. That's all.
I suppose, yeah, there's a lot to
Yep.
do, never ending kind of thing. How
Yeah.
do you keep track of your projects? Do you just kind of have them floating in your brain? Do you have a section in your planner for it, a separate notebook? What, how do you tangibly dream these things?
He has told me so many times, I need you to make a list of all of the projects that you need me to do, and then number them the order you want them done. I'm like, okay, yeah, I'll do that for you. Hey, we need to do this too, Caleb. And
Yeah.
nothing gets written down, but more just gets added to it.
Yeah, that can, and then it just feels sort of like this nebulous, like ever present.
Yeah.
I'm not getting done what I'm supposed to be doing. So, also props to him to being very communicative to express his needs,
Yes.
right? I really need this from you. And
Yes.
to receive that from you, a lot of people be like, make your own list.
Yeah.
Tell me what
Yeah, no,
to
I
do.
really do need to do it though. He's asked me to do it so many times and I just don't.
Well,
Because where am I going to put it? Because I would put it in one of my planners, but he doesn't look in my planners. So where am I going to put it? In our fridge is this weird kind of metal that magnets don't stick to.
You could washi tape it to the fridge. I mean, I think we can let's problem solve, because
That is a good point.
you could put it in your planner. There's like it's not a either or. It's like you it's a and situation. You can put it in your planner and then even pull up your phone in the notes app, and just do bullet points. I mean, some people just thrive on bullet points. They wouldn't get the numbering thing there, but or maybe you could. Maybe you could. Yeah, I'm sure there's an app
Maybe.
for that,
Just add
right?
a number.
There's just add a
Just add a
number.
number at the beginning. Yeah.
And even just having you do the practice of the brain dump of writing it out yourself, well, you'll be faced with those things that you've been carrying around. That adds weight to your shoulders, whether you know it or not, whether you're looking forward to it or not. It's still like you kind of go through the list every time to make sure you nothing fell off of your dream, you know, like, okay, it's all still there. But then you can see realistically, what is the priority here? Do we have the money for this? Do we have the time before frost hits? Or I don't know, do you have frost in East Texas? Is that a thing?
Define frost. What is frost?
Well, like when you can't dig in the ground anymore.
Well, that happens in the summer when the dirt gets so dry and hard.
Oh, that's new. Okay. All right. Well, I'm in the north. I'm in Minnesota, so that's scary. but
Yeah, no,
again,
we don't get ground frost like y'all do. No.
okay. So that's as far as timing projects here for construction or bigger things like pools, like you have to dig at a certain point because the ground frost level is such that you cannot dig. It's completely rock
Yeah.
solid, so.
I have a friend that lives in Boston, and when we were building their house, she asked how far deep they put our water line. I'm like, "Oh, it's 18 inches." And she's like, "What? It's in the freeze zone." I'm like, "What are you talking about?"
Oh yeah, it's a
We
thing.
yeah, we don't have that.
For sure. Or just things that I've seen, I've noticed people have their water heaters outside in the garage. I'm like, how does that
Yes.
work? We can't have that. The whole thing would freeze.
Really?
Oh yeah, we can't have like your washer's not outside. None of that.
Huh.
Because I mean, it's -30 sometimes. Like that's
That's true.
like you just Like your eyeball juice freezes. Like, it's crazy. Yeah. Oh, okay. I can't talk about that yet. It's still summer. Still summer.
I spent one winter in Minnesota. So I know what you're talking about.
Oh, yeah. Good. Because a lot of people are like, I don't get what you're saying. It's brutal.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's bad. It's bad. It was scary, too. It was the first time I'd ever been there. And I'm like, everything is white. And they're like, that's a lake. I'm like, oh. And then we're driving. I'm like, y'all have a lot of lakes. And she goes, no, that's a field. I'm like,
you can't tell the difference in the winter.
Look the same.
Yeah, you absolutely cannot tell the difference because it's just a blank swath of land covered in snow.
Yes, and we were up by Mankato, so it was it was very spaced out. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's where I went to college. I graduated there. Go Mavs, Mavericks.
Oh, I went to the campus.
Oh, look at this, small worlds. Wow. Who knew? Like, how? That's amazing. I would have never asked you, like, have you been to Mankato, Minnesota? Like, it's about an hour plus up from the Twin Cities, too. So, like, who would have thought? Okay. So, as far as your projects go, if you write them down and prioritize them yourself, you'll be faced with making those decisions. I think perhaps one of the reasons you're not getting to get them to him is because you maybe haven't decided. Have you or have you?
Oh, they need to happen. They definitely need to happen. I'm very budget aware, and to me, it's not feasible right now to do. So why make a list of it? I know it's not going to happen right now, so why make the list of it right now? Mm. You know.
Mm-hmm. But then, if you never write them down, are you the type of person that will still carry them?
Yeah.
In your mind.
I will. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I write down a lot of stuff just to get it out of my head.
Mm-hmm. And you could even put like a rating system on your list. Like, this is a, like you said, the whole 5-year thing. Like, this is a safety, like, prioritize. Like, is this a safety thing? Is this an aesthetic thing? Is this just something I like the look of? Is this something that will add value to our home? Is this something that, you know, needs to be brought up to code? Or, you know, like, I guess that's more of the safety thing too. Will this enhance my daily life? Is this something that'll just be fun once in a while? You know, like, all those kind of decisions.
It's funny you say up to code. We don't have that here.
I know. I want to go to Minnesota, man. Ooh, it's nicknamed the nanny state because we just got some regulations, I tell you.
We live out in the middle of nowhere. We don't have... We're outside city limits. So the only thing that we were required to, like, get a permit for when we were building was our septic system. And that's because your septic system has to be filed with the city or with the county, excuse me. So, wow. Yeah, it's country out here.
Yes. And you were thinking about homeschooling too. So I was thinking of Texas. I always think of Texas. So I'm like, if Minnesota actually has fantastic parent rights at the time being. I mean, I think education is getting all thrown up in the air at the moment with the whole government involvement of distance learning and not distance learning and the overreach into the independent districts. And that's a whole nother conversation. But if it ever kind of turns back then to homeschoolers, I'm like, I'm going to Texas. I'm going to look Jenna up, be like, hey, let me help you build that pool for rent, because I don't know. I do not. I just always feel like Texas is the last resort. Like, that's where we can go. We'll all survive.
Oh, man. Everybody wants to come to Texas. Everybody I talk to, and nobody is leaving. Everybody's staying. So it's good. It's good. It brings more people in. You have more diversity. It's, I moved out to the country because I like looking up at night and seeing the stars.
Yes.
Can't see that when there's a lot of light population from the big cities, though.
Yes.
But
I know what you mean. When you were describing your life in the suburbs and then how it kept building up around you, that is my life. Like, I live in a city called Farmington, first of all. So there was used to all be farms, and then as slowly as they sell, they convert to subdivisions. And the light leak is just something that you don't think about. Like, I'm like, oh, these are cool houses and there's updated styles. And like, okay, this will help our community because maybe more people, more thriving businesses, more taxes, more whatever. And that type of thing. But then the other day, I don't know, my husband's into photography and particularly like nature, and he climbs mountains and he loves the stars and all this stuff. So something was in line. I forget what it was, some astrological event, and he wanted to go capture it. And he's like, I couldn't. I had to keep going and driving and driving and driving. And even then, he just couldn't get to a point where the city's light leak wasn't so toxic is like extreme, but you know what I mean? So prevalent that, yeah. I mean, he actually did get a kind of a cool shot. The light leak kind of was just right behind a tractor, and then he could kind of capture the Milky Way, which was really pretty. And I was just like, yes, you got it. And he worked hard for it too, because he just kept trying to find a spot. But you know, that's real. That's a reality for some, just really crave more of that natural experience right. in your life. And you had to make hard decisions and move your life to get what you wanted out of that experience. And,
you know, I've always loved going outside at night and looking up at the sky. When we lived in the city and we went outside and like all you could see was the moon, it was heartbreaking. I know that sounds dramatic, but seeing the stars every night, growing up out in the middle of nowhere and seeing the stars every night and then moving to the city and not being able to see any, I was like, I know constellations and I couldn't see anything. And then we moved and it got a little bit better. And now you go outside and it's like, there are so many stars like you wouldn't believe. It's just the best feeling.
It's hard to describe to someone who perhaps has always been in an urban environment with a lot of light pollution. Mm-hmm. Even my own children, like I was just saying about the suburbs here, one of the reasons we like to go camping or pursue them going to camps or, you know, different things is literally so they can see the sky. Like, it is so transformative in some ways to see, especially I'm thinking a moment I had when I was 16 out in Montana, big sky country, where basically from horizon line to my left, all the way up to the sky to the other horizon line, there were stars. Like a blanket. Like, that's how people describe a blanket. Yes. Like, there was more stars than background. And it was almost
exactly
like, this has been here the whole time. Like, I don't. It's just transformative. It's just, you feel the vastness of the universe. You feel, I don't know, for me anyways, I should speak for myself. I felt the vastness of the universe. And as a Christian Christ follower, then I felt, you know, a connection that it was just of a creator creation kind of thing. And you might not have that lens or, you know, whatever, but either way, it's still just, it's kind of mind blowing. I know.
Yes.
Did you ever get
it's humbling.
Did you ever get into any of the star planner products, like the whole galaxy fad?
Oh my goodness.
And like all of that.
Stargazer, Happy Planner Stargazer is my girl. From the Happy Planner Girl line. Mm-hmm. I would have bought every single piece and product of it if I was able to. I have no shame, right? Mm-hmm. I have 4 of the Stargazer sticker books. Yeah, the big value pack sticker books. And I have a set of the washi tape and 2 of the mini sticker pads. And absolutely obsessed with it.
I was going to say, so that resonated with you for sure, obviously.
Yeah. Yeah, well, that's always been part of me, going outside and seeing the stars, seeing the constellations. You know, it's always been there. My dad used to go outside, and he's the one who showed me, you know, the first ones, the Little Dipper and the Big Dipper and Orion's Belt. And even my brother, I remember one night when I was in middle school, he woke me up and said, come outside. And we went outside and sat on the tailgate of my dad's truck and watched a meteor shower.
Mm.
And yeah. And so I have that, you know, it's a connection to, I guess my whole family is like that too. Cause I have some crystals, and even my mom is into crystals. So it's really neat, something that's brought us all together.
Yeah, and that is something that you're incorporating into your content creation, too, of just kind of featuring them in flat lays, and you're looking into the properties of that.
Yeah, I guess I would say crystals for healing purposes. Mm-hmm. I think that's a good way to say it. So my disclaimer is I personally, because everyone is different, I personally don't feel that crystals interfere with my Christianity, because I look at them from a more scientific standpoint. Like all matter, everything is created of matter. We are created of matter. All matter vibrates. It all resonates. So when you find something else, in this case, this is a crystal that resonates with you, you feel it. When it resonates with your own vibration, you can feel it and it can help you. So, you know, that's why I'm into them, because I think it's more than just a pretty rock.
Mm-hmm. And then do you bring them like with you, or is sort of just something like you check in with once in a while, or how does that?
Well, I'll tell you, I'm holding one right now. I am holding one. It's called Sardonyx. It's for courage, happiness, and communication.
Well, fantastic. That's exactly what you need. Yeah.
Yes. but like my husband, I'll use him as the example, because I'm always home. So do I go out with them? Yeah. But let me use my husband for an example, because he's also into them. Very newly into them. He has been having some stress from work. So I made him a little pocket bundle. He's got Howlite in it, which is for calming, awareness, and spirituality. He's got one that's called Chrysocolla, which is this pretty blue-green color. And it is also for calming and new beginnings and communication. And he's got some others in there, some tiger's eye and iron tiger, I think is what it is. But he's got some pieces in there, and he came home from work after one day of carrying them in his pocket, and he said, I don't know if it's because I talked to my boss today or if it's because of the rocks, we call them rocks, but I don't feel stressed. I feel really good.
Well, maybe, you know, it's when he put that in his pocket too, or that matter to ion connection, like the scientific base, like you were talking about, or he set his intentions differently, just knowing like this is what this represents and I'm carrying that representation with me, you know, to embolden mm-hmm. him in those areas. That's really neat that you were able to connect with him in that way and help support him, and be interesting to see if, you know, what happens in the future. Like if you guys get into it, or you have a little bookshelf full, like what are we going to pick out tonight? Let's get some romance crystals or whatever, you know.
Ooh, yeah, let's not get any ideas. I actually have some shelving little display things that I'm going to put. I just got them from Target, and I'm going to put them up in the living room on the walls and display some of the crystals in there that are more for calming and communication and unconditional love and stuff like that, just to fill the living room area with that kind of, you know, energy, I guess. Mm-hmm. But yeah, we have one that's called Aragonite, and it is, I specifically wanted it for my son, because he is 4, almost 5, and he is a ball of energy. And sometimes he just needs to calm down and focus. And that's what that one's for. So, yeah, we need to get that in the living room like yesterday.
Well, and he's kind of going into preschool, too. So, that whole stage of life is very, very energetic.
Yes.
But yeah, when you know your child best, yep. And you're good mom to be thinking ahead of what you can do to support him and in what he needs for the best way to grow. And in fact, this is here we are half hour plus into the interview, and I'm just thinking like of your tagline. It has parenting in your IG handle. I mean, that's kind of a big part of your online presence too, is parenting. In fact, it's plan, pen, paint, and parent, right? Did I get that in the right order? Plan, pen, paint, and parent. So we talked a little bit about plan, and I wanted to go over all four of those. So it's all of a sudden dawned on me like, oh yeah, parent. Yeah. So we talked about your planner. We talked actually about your recipe planner, a little bit about your like theme style that you like with the Stargazer. And maybe talked about planning a little bit as far as like goals and like larger projects and communicating in your household. As far as planning goes, tell me about your routine. Is this something you do just once in a while for creative outlet, or do you do it daily? Or, you know, everyone's so different and we all belong in the planner community. So it's not like you need to prove yourself or anything, but I just love to hear how it goes for other people.
My planning routine is chaotic. I go into the front bedroom because we have a 3-bedroom house, and the front bedroom is the storage room, the spare bedroom, the office area, which would be my desk, and a game room, all in one. So, and it's just a little, I think it's a 10x10 room. And I go in my little space and I sit there, and about 2 seconds after my butt hits the chair, I hear feet coming from down the hall. And that's how my planning goes. Yes, Emmett. Yes, Emmett. What would you like, baby? Okay, you can go get that. And that's how it is the entire time. He's outside right now, but that's how it is the entire time. I'm so grateful for step stools because he's now able to get his own water. So I don't have to go get him a snack and then sit down and then get back up because he realized his sippy cup was empty. So, you know, it's like a mom win right there. But I am the crazy person who I either will use just one sticker book or I'll use like six.
Why do you qualify that as like what? How is that odd?
Okay. Wait, maybe I'm in good company here.
Oh, yes. You are very good. I'm like, wait, I don't see the catch. I'm like, I'm waiting for you to say more. Like, what? That is normal. I don't know what you mean.
Well, because a lot of people, like, when I take my picture, I try to put all of the sticker books that I used in the photo. This way, you know, you have it for reference if you're like, ooh, I like that. Okay, well, that's what I used. So I've had comments of, how do you use so many sticker books? Well, because I needed that one sticker book out of this one. And then household has the perfect little trash can. You know?
So, yeah. So, yeah. You're in the right place.
Yeah. Yes. And I will hunt down that one sticker that I'm looking for until I find it. So planning, depending on if I'm in a one sticker book or bring the whole party, I could be in there for 3 hours doing one spread.
I feel like sticker hunting is part of like a separate part. Stickering in general, I think, is like a different part of this hobby. It's like a different sensation. It's a different part of your brain. You know, it's a multifaceted event. Do you know what I mean? Planning. It's like, well, one could be exactly this, prioritizing your goals. One could be, I need to set up my calendar. When is my next dentist appointment? It could be, I need to highlight my vacation days. It could be, I want to design a whole planner from scratch and I'm sitting here on a digital app making printables. Or it could just be like, I'm sticking stuff down. Like, it's so diverse. And that's why I always say we all belong in this planner community, whether you're making bullet journal spreads with hand lettering or you have a dollar store insert, you know, checkbook style register size, and you just love to follow along and you put a few stickers here and there or, you know, different colored pens. Like, it just, it doesn't matter if we use 100 sticker books or no stickers. That's part of the joy of being here, is just to see all the different representations. And however, all that being said, I think sticker hunting, because this is a very specific task, of especially for the Happy Planner sticker book users, of flipping. The whole flipping thing is like kind of a soothing ASMR. Like, you can flip through a sticker book and there's a smell of the ink, right? There's a smell of that paper. That there's just a smell. Like, it, I think you, I don't know. I used to use more of them than I do now, but, and so I don't know if their printing has gotten better, but or whatever, but there's just the texture of those pages flipping, the gentle rhythm, the frustration that inevitably comes going, I know it is in here.
Yes.
How did I miss that? And then you go back and you're like, oh, it's right here the whole time. Oh, okay.
You know, so you can cheat by looking at the back to see if it has it in there, or you can, I'm gonna have to look up her name because I can't remember it. I just found her like a couple weeks ago. There is a lady who got all of her sticker books that she has and then some. And then she went and made a website. So if you are looking for sunglasses, you can type into her website sunglasses. And it will pull up every single sticker book that has sunglasses in it.
No way. Let's pause right now. What is her name? What's that? I want to know what that is. I'm bringing
it
up.
Is,
oh, you know what it is. Okay.
Yes. Yes. Her name... Oh, let me make sure it's her first. Yeah, that's her. Her name is Rachel Hightower. It's on her Instagram. She is Plam, P-L-A-M as in Mary, N as in Nancy, _it_all. And her website is thestickersearch.com.
My mind is blown.
Yeah.
I'm like, do you hear my pen? I'm like, the sticker search. search. Because I just know this is going to be so useful to so many of my listeners. Or maybe they already know about it. They're like, Jess, are you the last person on earth to know about this? But search. Okay. I can spell.
Yeah.
All right. Search.
I think she started making it in the spring. And it went, her website went live at the end of spring. I could be wrong. But she's also really sweet too. She's a sweet person to talk to. But
now I'm curious, like right in the middle of this interview, I'm like, I'm going, my search bar is open. I'm like, I gotta see this. Oh, okay. The sticker. Oh, search with an R.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Here we go. What? No. Oh, computer. I'm going to Ruggable.com because that is one of the ads that was up recently. No, I don't want to go to Ruggable. Okay. This is cute.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. And then when you search for something, like just type in sunglasses or whatever.
Okay. I'm going to type in sunglasses.
And then it comes up and it looks like you're on a Google search engine.
Mm-hmm.
But if you read it, it tells you what sticker book it is. And it's got a little description. And I mean, she is so detailed that you can put sunglasses on a girl. And it will pull up every sticker book that has a picture of a girl wearing sunglasses or a sticker of.
My goodness.
She is so detailed with it, and it is so fast to use.
Yes, this is just very user-friendly, and I just need to have her on the show. Be like, what? How do you do this? Why did you do this?
I have no idea how she did it. It's awesome. I'm so grateful she did.
Oh, I'm so grateful that you brought it to my attention. I mean, I don't have like stacks of these sticker books, but I know so many people that do. And I would love to reward her effort, right? Like, get this spread around. Like, get her name out there. That is a big service. Holy cow. Okay. The site is dedicated to helping you find the HP sticker you need. Wow. Happy Planner needs to reach out to Rachel Hightower and give her something. Some kickback.
Well, Happy Planner did something recently. That was actually how I found Rachel's website, because they did some kind of sticker search thing and I couldn't find the email about it. So I went to Google and I typed in Happy Planner sticker search and her website came up first. And so I was like, that description is exactly what I want. Click.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, Well, I don't even know what the Happy Planner one is, but this is awesome. This is exactly what you want.
Okay.
Oh,
All right.
my
Well, thank you
bagel.
for that fun tangent. Back to our plan, pen, paint, and parent. So we talked about your planning style. You thought was chaotic for 1 to 6 sticker books. That is like, define your terms. That I wouldn't even consider chaotic. I take over the entire, and I'm trying to one up you or whatever, because you're feel free to feel like you're chaotic. But I take over the whole dining room table. Like, I can sit.
Oh, I would love to be able to do that.
Well, you say that, but then I have to pick it up every time. Like, I. So that's.
Yeah.
It keeps me accountable. Otherwise, it would just sit. That would be my desk. If I could have a room with a desk, it wouldn't be like a L-shaped white tabletopped IKEA with Alex drawer desk type of thing. It'd be like, I need an aircraft carrier in the middle of this room. So, you know, like this, the huge space, and maybe an island that you could sit on, kind of like with a stool, or kind of like an art room, industrial tech room kind of scenario where you could maybe even stand sometimes. That would be my ideal. I wouldn't need the
that
vice grip
nice.
On the side, but you never know. Crafting can get pretty serious. So
yes.
Who knows?
Yes.
So I'd love to get more into like your pen. The part of the pen. You said you jumped right into the hand lettering scene. It looked so easy while you were watching it on YouTube. Did you find it to be easy when you picked up a pen? How did that all go for you?
I guess saying it looked easy on YouTube is the wrong word. It didn't look easy. It looked like I get this from my mom. I can do that. Not that it looks easy, because it doesn't look easy. It looks therapeutic.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, smooth.
And
it looks like so flowy and like, yeah.
And honestly, some of them do make it look easy, but it doesn't look like it's something easy to do. So, yeah, I was like, I can do that. And I went out and I bought Tombow's, you know, everybody knows it, everybody loves it, brush pen. And I'm like, this is terrible. I suck at this. Why is my hand so shaky? Why is it so wiggly, the lines? Why isn't it smooth like it looks on the... Yeah, it was bad. And then I learned you're supposed to start with a small brush. So I went out and I bought Kelly Creates. She has a color pack of small tip brush pens, and they are super flexible. They bend over like nothing and then they bounce right back. They don't have any memory, so you can use them again and again and they keep their shape. I love those. Those were a game changer, and that's what made me more confident in it. Because that's where you need to start. You need to start with a small tip brush pen.
Okay, so that's good advice for those who are maybe just getting started or have felt like a failure in the past and maybe put it away for years now, you know, and like, maybe I should.
Do not give up. You can do it. And you can also just have like a regular pen and work on the way that you're not writing, you're drawing your letters. It's not writing. It's not handwriting. It's lettering. It's almost like you're drawing each letter like it's a picture. So, yeah. And then you just find your own little style and go with it from there.
What kind of...
And then you get into bouncing, and I can't bounce.
Oh, that's not your jam? You don't bounce?
Oh, I cannot bounce.
So what is your style? Like, is there a word to describe what you do?
I have no idea.
Oh, it's the Jenna technique. It's the Jenna technique. Hashtag take it. It'll take off. Yeah. No, but you know what I mean? Like, whereas bouncing is a style, like you're just normal. Like, I don't know all the vocab that goes around lettering.
I don't either. So when you're bouncing, your letters are at different height intervals. And I don't do that. I can't do that. It frustrates me because you have to think so far out. Like if you have a Y, your Y should be up high when you start it. This way it can swing down low. So that means the letter before it has to be low. And then you have to go up and down all the way back to the beginning. I can't do it.
Okay, you don't have to. I'm not asking you to. It's okay. Deep breaths. I can't, Jessica. I can't. Like, okay. We don't have to bounce.
Did you hear?
No bouncing.
Did you hear the panic?
Yes, I did. No bouncing. We won't do the bouncing. So yours is basically, it's just in a straight. It's like in a line. Yeah. Okay.
It's a line. It's a line. And that is, so that bouncing is hard, and then flourishing, all those pretty swirls that you see, those are hard. Those are no joke.
So
those
I
really
assume you've attempted it, and then do you just look at it and be like, I don't like that? Or is it just...
It looks like a cinnamon roll that a kindergartner drew. Oh my gosh, it's so bad. I can't do it. Heather can do it. I've tried to copy Heather on her flourishes. I can't.
Is this Heather Kell? You're talking
about? Heather Kell. Yeah, yes. Okay. Kell of a plan. Mm-hmm. Yes. I have tried. I cannot do it. Mm-hmm.
Well, and that's sort of like the cherry picking of these skills, right? Is we can be inspired by many people and try it, but then realize like, oh, it's really not for me. And we don't have to feel bad about ourselves or like we're less than or have something, you know, I don't know, broken. It's just those aren't the things that you're going to pursue. You could probably get that if you spent a half hour every day for the next year. I mean, you know, some skills are just... learned. Some is talent, some is just natural interest and ability. So definitely taking pride in what you do and accepting that, and maybe, I mean, even pushing yourself to grow a little bit, but I think you've found your rhythm.
I think if I tried it for 30 minutes a day every day for a year, I would have a hole in my wall.
I said I can't. Ooh. Jessica, I said I can't. Okay.
Yes.
Okay. Know your boundaries. All right. Okay. Got it. Oh gosh. What is your favorite thing to letter? Do all your friends ask you to letter their name? Will you just draw my name in the front of my planner? Or like, how does that all go?
I had one friend, she hasn't gotten it yet, but she asked me to letter a tattoo for her. And I think that's one of the things I'm most proud of. I had another friend down the road down the road 40 miles away. she asked me to write something in her planner once, and I thought that was really neat. But yeah, I'm nothing great. I just have fun with it, you know?
Yeah, and you can be a step removed from that person being hard on themselves. Do you know what I mean? It's like, it's not your planner, you're still going to take it seriously and do a nice job, but I don't know, we get in our heads sometimes about it, and if that one other step removed from you can do it, it's, I don't know, somehow better or easier. Well, I think wow, someone asked you to letter your whatever lettering for their tattoo, that's like forever. That is quite the compliment. No wonder you didn't get. Are you stressed? Like, do you, I mean, obviously, it's her choice. Ultimately, you could let her, and then she could change her mind or whatever if it doesn't.
No, I did it. Gosh, when did I do that for her? I want to redo it because I think I did it. I think it's been a year or 2 years, and she hasn't gotten it yet. And I want to redo it because I don't write the same now. I think I write a little bit better than I did then. And, you know, because we're all practicing, we're all learning, we're supposed to get better, right? So I want to redo it for her and then her go get it.
Yeah.
So I'm going to try and get her to listen to this and subliminally tell her, hey,
it's time.
I need to redo your...
It's time to get the tats. I know, I've been saying I was going to get a tat. If I look back at old or listen back to old episodes, which I do not do, because, yeah, when you look back on stuff, it's sort of like, I think I've gotten better. But anyways, even in the podcast, I'm like talking about how I want a tattoo like for my 40th birthday. Well, like I'm 41. Like, come on now. That's Let's make a plan. Planning's my specialty, so.
I want tranquility lettered with my lettering on my wrist.
Oh.
Yeah, it was my one little word for like 3 years. Oh. And that word meant a lot. It was a very strong word, and I didn't want to get away from it. So it was my word for a long time. So I want to get that lettered on my wrist. But I'm not sure that I like my handwriting for it. It's like, I'll like part of it, but then not like the other half. So like, I'll like the way that the T-R-A-N-Q looks, and then not like the Y on the end. So
what about tranquil? Like just tranquil. I mean, it wasn't your word, but I mean,
yeah,
could get rid of the Y.
I don't know. I haven't thought about, well, and then there's times when I love the Y and I'm like, ew, what happened to the T? You know?
Oh, yeah. And the tattoo is just, you can't change your, I mean, you can change your mind. Think of all the people's tattoos that they've tried to fix, like the weird, like, or obviously laser treatments and stuff. But if it's on your wrist, like that's, you know, it's one thing if it's on your back shoulder, you'd be like, I'm going to say it once in a while when I get out of the shower. But like, you know, you're like reminded of that lettering every day.
Exactly. And then I'm also very meticulously, like, to the point of I've done way too much into this. I am vetting tattoo artists because this is going to be on my wrist. So I need somebody who can pull a clean line without having to double back over it and do the whole thing, you know, in a nice, smooth pass.
Yeah, that's
one
hard,
other tattoo.
So many bumps, like little tendons and veins right there.
And I have one other tattoo, and it's on my hip. And all it was a simple star. You think I like stars? And the guy was so heavy-handed that the entire thing blew out before it was even done healing. So I don't want a remake of that. Yeah.
Could you go back and get it sharpened up? Or like another outline around it or something?
If I do, so it was supposed to be a thin line. But he made so many passes over it that it's like, it's kind of a thick line now. And then it blew out on top of that. So it's really thick. So if I go back over it, it's just not going to be the same image that I wanted.
Oh, right.
It's like a disjointed star. So if I go back over it again, it's just going to all be connected.
Okay. So maybe it'd just be like a supernova, like a star that blew up. It's like a supernova.
Yeah, basically.
Just cover it all up in a solid and be like, it's a black hole.
Yes.
Oh, goodness. All right, well, let's move on to the paint aspect. Is this still something that you're actively interested in? Do you enjoy painting, or how does the paint follow?
Paint was supposed to be my nail polish.
Oh, okay. I get it.
That fell off. I did back when I worked, before that, since I was in middle school, I've always had my nails painted and I would always do nail art designs, and I changed my nail polish at least once a week.
Mm-hmm.
So I would go to school sometimes and have like a different color polish on every day. So since having a kiddo, that's kind of gone because you don't have time to sit there and wait for your nails to dry anymore.
Right.
So that luxury is gone. But yeah, I still enjoy it when I can.
Did you ever get into like the gel polish and stuff? Because that dry time isn't as, you know, it's a different whole jam.
My nails did not do well with gel polish. I know a lot of people use it because it strengthens their nail. But it made mine weak, and my natural nails are kind of long, and they're really strong and sturdy, and they have that hard C curve to them. And when I use gel nails, it kind of made the ends change their shape. So I don't use gel.
Okay. I wonder if they've produced any I'm surprised someone listening who's in that like whole field is like, yes, they have. If you know of anything, let Jenna know. Let us know.
Yeah.
On Instagram at plan.pen.paint.parent and drop her a link in her DMs on Instagram. Because I know there are some nail fanatics out there, even in, the planner community. Well, and you're one of them probably, but just... you know, as you haven't done it lately, they might have a newer type of product. I know they're developing and redeveloping things all the time for specific cases like that. Oh, I can picture your nails. Like, I haven't met you, but when you did a good job describing them. And that is the kind of natural nail that is just, I'm so envious of. It's like it doesn't split. It doesn't, you know, bend. And it's just like you can see that and just be like, wow. That's cool.
They all get to a point, you know. I think everybody's got their limits, their thresholds that their nails can handle. Mm-hmm. But yeah, for the most part, I think mine go a little bit further than what's supposed to happen.
Yeah, the norm.
They just hold up. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, my mother-in-law's nails are like that. And she's in the garden 24/7 and she's doing this and that and the other thing. And I'm like, there's like whites on all of your nails. Like, okay.
Uh-huh.
That's cool. All right. I guess, you know, we all have different cells. We're made up of different matter. I get it.
Uh-huh.
That's the same with anything. Like some people's hair are thicker and some are thinner and, you know, all that kind of stuff too. But I've been told that people about my nails are like, I have long nail beds apparently. So although my nails aren't very long, my nail beds are long. Do you know what I mean?
Huh.
Like from the cuticle to the bottom of where the whites start, or the tips, I guess, I don't know. And so sometimes when I have polish on, they can actually look longer than they are, you know what I mean? So
mm-hmm.
There's
yes.
that. At least I yes. got that.
Yeah, that works.
Yeah. Okay, so that's the paint.
Mm-hmm.
We'll see what happens. May or may not get back in to the mix, you know.
Well, if it doesn't, I want to start doing lettering on pieces of wood, so that would also be painting. So one way or another, I'm bringing it back.
All right, it's coming.
Yes.
All right, and then the last one, parent, which we talked about just a little bit previously, how does that play into your online presence, or why did you pick that in as part of your name?
Well, the reason, so I don't have social media except for Instagram. I do have a Facebook, but I don't use it. I don't have any friends. It is literally so I can see when the barbecue place down the street is open because they don't have a website. That is the purpose of my Facebook, is so I can see when he's open.
I like the commitment.
And when he sells out.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But I made my first Instagram because of parenting. I was on a parenting app and I made a lot of connections with some of the moms, and they were like, hey, let's go on Instagram where we can actually share pictures of our kids instead of, you know, we all talk about our kids, but no one posts pictures because, hello, it's on the internet.
Mm-hmm.
So we went to, like, on a public forum. So we went to Instagram and a lot of those ladies were really supportive of me when I said, I want to get into this crazy planner thing. And they were like, I don't get it, but I support you. And so I wanted to keep that as part of it. But I don't really show pictures of my kid, not his face.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't. I just, you know, just that little level of privacy.
Oh, for sure. And he's young. He's 4. He'll be 5
in September.
Yeah, in September. So, yeah, I respect that. I get that.
And mm-hmm. we are still in the deep in the struggles of potty training
mm-hmm.
at almost 5 years old, which I have found out is not uncommon. It's just not talked about.
Oh, for sure.
It's like nobody wants to say, oh, I potty trained my kid when he was 5. But everyone wants to say, I potty trained my kid when she was, you know,
5 months old.
I don't know. 5 months old. Yeah. So we've kind of like shifted what our standard is. And who put that timetable on there? You know, because I go to the pediatrician and I'm like, he still isn't potty trained. And he's like, he'll figure it out before he graduates high school. I'm like, thanks.
Yep, it's true. It's true because they've been around. They've been pediatricians for probably a long time. And
yeah,
it does.
He's like, there's not a time. That's not a timed milestone. It's not like speech or, you know, it's not a developmental milestone. So he's like, don't worry about it. He'll figure it out. He's fine.
You're like, yes, but I am worried about, like, there's sometimes
tell
just
that to my couch.
Yeah, my mom. Yeah, and the frustration and the expense of all the other care items you need to be purchasing for his hygiene when you're like, I thought I'd kind of be past this by now. I don't want to pick up a pack of these things every time I'm somewhere, you know.
Exactly.
And, so I feel you on that.
And now I don't want to even say this out loud, but we are doing really well. He has not. I don't want to say it out loud.
Well, here, I'm knocking on wood. You can say it now.
Yes. He has not had an accident in over a week. And I mean, he has been pristine for over a week.
Yeah.
Which we've been here before. It's a little bit of stubbornness, a little bit of pulling from me and him where he will do great for an entire month. And then all of a sudden we regress back to square one. And I'm really hoping that's not what this is. I'm really hoping that this is the final one.
The final
and
showdown.
He's going to get it. I really think he is. I think this is the one.
And if not, you will just get that fabric spray out and do another load of laundry and another bath and and keep going.
Yes,
that's for sure.
We use the dogs, the pet stain remover for the kid more than the dogs, so it works. And parents that are out there having problems with potty training and trying to do the naked from the waist down thing, but you got carpet and you got a couch, get some pet stain and odor remover.
Well, and you're out in the country. Can he just be outside? And it's warm. So is there
outside? Hot.
Oh, I guess. Yeah.
Yeah, we've been doing that ever since the weather got nice. That's what we've been doing. He has a potty chair in the garage and he knows, and he goes and he sits on that. And that has been phenomenal, but it's hot. We have a cool front right now, so that's why I kicked them outside so we could do this. But like right now it says it's only 82, which is, it's cold, you know.
Did you get a sweatshirt?
Are they wearing
their long jeans?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yep.
So, you know, it's beautiful. It's not over 100. It's fine. It's fine.
It's fine. We're all fine. It's fine. It's fine. We're all fine.
Right.
Do you track your weather in your planner?
I do.
So how far out do you go? Like, do you just do 3 days at a time? Do you have stickers?
I had a bullet journal that I did, and I did about 3 months worth of it. I did, what does the weather say it's going to be? Like, you know, in the 5 day forecast. And then what was the weather actually? Because I don't know how it is up in Minnesota, but our weatherman, he's like blindfolded, throwing darts at the board. He has no idea what's going on. he got the cool front, right? They don't know what they're doing half the time.
Yeah. I'm not much of a tracker. Like, do you like data? Like, is that kind of, do you track other things?
Yeah, I need to know. I need the information. I like to do research on stuff. I need to know. I need to check it all out. I need to do my own research. I don't like taking what other people say at face value. So if I can look into it myself and make my own conclusion from it, that's what I'd prefer.
So how has that played out for you? Like, if you watch, do you watch any planner YouTube and stuff like that? Like, you are taking, so a lot of YouTube content creators will like tell you a review or like do a flip through or show you something. Would you consider that part of your research, or is that them telling you something at face value and then you go extra and then like try to find out more information?
There's a few YouTubers that I actually like outside the planner community that I'll actually use for reviews, like for product review, because they're just real people. I can't think of her name. She's one of the big people, though. I want to say her name is Graveyard Girl, and or I think her name is Bunny. She is a character. And she is a real person who gets this thing in the mail that says it's going to curl your hair by using some kind of wind tunnel suction. And I'm like, that is exactly what I would look like if that box showed up on my porch and I opened it. So there's some people that I'll go to and I'll look at, but if I'm, like if it's not something like that, like a product review, and I'm trying to find something, I will go and I will go down a rabbit hole. I will get lost in my research. I will get so turned around, and all of a sudden, I'll be watching cat videos. Oh, yeah, I definitely go down that rabbit hole.
Well, Jenna, before we sign off for the day, you have an opportunity coming your way in the planning community. Will you please tell us about the Prancing Doxy PR team and what that all involves and how long you'll be on it, and maybe even drop your promo code for my listeners and I?
Yeah, I just found out at the beginning of August that I would be doing PR for Sarah. She's going to have a new website this year. She's going to have her Etsy shop also, but her new website will be theprancingdoxy.com, where you can sign up for an account and earn treats, and you can cash those points in for the rewards program down the road. And if you use my code Jenna15 at checkout, you will save 15% off of your order. And you also get my cute little sampler. It's all foil and it's got some stars on it and a moon and a cute little quote.
Oh, of course it does. That just sums you up very well. Did you get to help design? I mean, obviously, did you have like an input into what goes on your sampler?
I did. She asked us to share a little bit about ourselves, and that was what mine ended up being, and I absolutely love it. It's so cute.
Sure. And this will last till November 2020 for the Jenna 15,
To the end of
right?
November,
To the
yes.
end of November. Okay. And then for those maybe not familiar with the Prancing Doxy, Doxy is spelled Doxie. And then could you tell us, like, maybe if you were to summarize the style of sticker that Sarah Horst makes or provides, what would you say you'd find there?
Oh yeah. So she is currently, like as we speak, working on her fall line, and fall is her favorite season, so that's why I'm really glad that I'm on the PR team for this term. So it's gonna have some witchy stuff in it. It's gonna have some sassy, fall quotes. She does a lot of foiling in different colors. So I know in the past there's been an orangey foil and stuff like that. But she has if you're into the crystals and stuff like that, she's got that side. If you're seasonal, she's going to have some fall, and she's also got your everyday household kind of stickers as well. So she's got a little bit of something for everybody, and she does kits and icons and just everything you could think of.
All right, well, that's a good overview. And I look forward to seeing your posts on Instagram, plan.pen.paint.parent. And I'm sure we'll be seeing some of those stickers and layouts soon as you are PRing now. And make sure to use Jenna15 for 15% off at checkout and the cute sampler and freebie. Well, Jenna, thank you so much for coming on Planner Lifestyle. It was a joy to get to know you, and thanks for coming.
Thank you so much for having me. It was fun to get outside my comfort zone for a little bit.
It sounds kind of intimidating, but I think it's kind of fun.
Yeah, it's different. I really had fun. Thank you.
Thanks for listening to this week's episode of Planner Lifestyle Podcast. Make sure to subscribe to see when new episodes drop, like next week when Stephanie Fleming joins me for a middle of the week bonus episode on Planner Lifestyle Podcast to talk about her book launch. Of course, then next Friday with the lovely, sweet Shay from Instagram. All right, till next time.